Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you are with us this morning, whether in-house or online. A warm welcome to all of you. As Pastor John said, it's nice to be able to drive without going through the snow. However, I think we'll probably do a little bit of that before the day is over. It's Wisconsin. Welcome. We're delighted to live here. Well, back here on the screen, I've got a picture. It's one that I strategically chose for this morning. Some of you probably know what it is, others may not. It is a picture of an Amish barn raising. Now, the Amish, what they would do, rather than making their neighbor build their barn all on their own and have the expense of all the labor and so on, what they will do is they will pitch together and they will say, my neighbor needs a barn and we're going to all labor together. We're going to make it happen for our neighbor. And in this picture, the best that I could count, it almost looks like ants on there. I mean, there's so many. But there's about 63, the best that I can count on the picture. And if you were to draw back a little further on the picture, which we can't this morning, but if you were to do so, you would see a group of women that are there. And the ladies, they're making food and preparing for meals. And if you were to back off a little further than that, you would see the children. And the children are running errands, bringing nails and hammers and all the things they need for construction. And it's quite an amazing thing to see them all laboring together for one cause. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you for a few moments about Together 2021. You know, looking back on the year of 2020, it's easy to see the hand of God all over it. I think many of us have become kind of, you know, we look at 2020 with what some would say a stink eye. You know, it was a year that good riddance, we're ready to go on. I heard somebody on the radio yesterday saying I had such high expectations for 2021, but 2021 is turning out worse. I'm here to tell you today that God is still in control. Amen? And I look to Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so when we look back on the year, if we look at it through the paradigm of blessing, I've been blessed, you've been blessed, and we have been blessed of the Lord. Yes, there have been trials, no doubt, but God has faithfully brought us through all of them. You know, if we look back on the year of 2020, tens of thousands of people have been impacted by the message of Jesus Christ globally through our efforts together. You know, if we were to go back and look at some of the stats, which we're going to tonight at our annual business meeting, which we have once a year, it's a time where we look back and see all the blessings of the Lord, then look forward as well. But here's what we found. In the year 2020, even though there was the mandates, the shutdowns, all of this, we had 242,039 views on our web pages. And so they tuned in, they listened to messages. Matter of fact, we find that we have a footprint in 47 different states and 44 different nations of the world. So help me welcome all of these friends as well. And we're delighted that wherever you're living in the world today, that you have chosen to tune in and be part of this service with us. You know, throughout this past year, churches have been built, Bible colleges have been established, new missionaries have been sent, the hungry have been fed, the naked have been clothed, the sick have been healed, new names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And to all of that, we say to God be the glory for the great things He has done. And most exciting of all is the fact that I believe, and I know that you believe, the best is yet to come. The best is not behind us, the best is before us. And to that end, we come to Together 2021. Now, in many ways, throughout the year of 2020, because of all the pandemic guidelines and rules and regulations and so on, it was a year that kind of separated people. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe that God has something in store for us in 2021 that is something we do together. Together 2021. So this morning, then, I want you to consider with me for the next few moments the incredible potential of a body of believers focusing on a mission and doing life together. together in mission, together in prayer, together serving, together giving, together walking together in the Spirit. D.L. Moody, some of you know the name, D.L. Moody, a great evangelist of years gone by from Chicago, Illinois. Matter of fact, if you were to go to Chicago today, you'd find the Moody Bible Institute and a whole host of things that bear his name. Great evangelist that had a real impact upon the culture and society of his day. D.L. Moody said this, and I think it's rather insightful. He says, the world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And then after that statement, he says, I will try my utmost to be that man. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I can speak for most of you in the room. I too, and I believe that we too want to be that man. And we ultimately want to be that church that God can use in ways that he's never found anyone else ever to submit to his plan and to his will. We live in a day of rugged individualism, and our culture tends to applaud such individuals. We bestow on them titles like maverick or nonconformist. We say they march to the beat of a different drummer. We say they're out doing their own thing. Now, one insightful theologian wrote, he said this, he said, few people have ever seen a real church. And when I read that, I thought to myself, a few people have ever seen a real church. Just exactly what does he mean? A lot of people have seen a lot of churches. But here's what he went on to say. He said a church, the definition that he was using, a church functioning as Jesus prayed his church would function in John chapter 17. And there we find that it was going to be a body of believers functioning together in unity, in vision, and in passion. John chapter 17 records the words of Jesus. He is alone in his time of prayer just prior to what we know is going to take place, will be his arrest, and ultimately it's going to lead to his crucifixion. And in verse 21, Jesus prayed these words, I pray that they, that's all of us, will all be one just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. He said this oneness of mission, this oneness of passion is going to define the church of Jesus Christ. And I want to be that church, don't you? Have you ever wondered what we could ever accomplish for God if we all did the same thing together? If we all focused and said, rather than being the maverick, rather than being the Lone Ranger, we would say, we're going to unite together on one mission with one plan to see this come through to the fruition of God. So have you ever wondered that? I have, and I'm sure many of you have. You know, I love reading that biblical account about the Tower of Babel. Now, there are many parallel storylines that take place in this fascinating account. However, its primary account is that of what is possible when people embrace the very same vision. Now, admittedly, in this case of the Tower of Babel, the vision was the wrong vision. Therefore, God stepped in, confused their languages, which brought a halt to the building of the tower. Let's read about it in Genesis chapter 11, starting with verse 1. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Now, what it's saying here, they were not only speaking the same language linguistically, but they were united together, so they were saying the same thing. And I can imagine this crowd saying, we are going to build a city and we are going to build a tower that is going to reach into the heavens. And the Bible says in verse 2, as men moved eastward, they found the plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks rather than stone, or instead of stone, and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches into the heavens so that we may make a name for whom? Ourselves. and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city. Now, there are times that I find in the Bible very interesting where this all-knowing God that knows all that's happening on the planet. He knows when an ant has, been harmed. He knows all details about everything on this planet. Yet there's some times when God says, this is so incredible, I'm going to come down and check it out on my own. And so the Lord came down, and the Bible says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So when their languages were confused so that they no longer were speaking one unified language, they began to stop building because it was a frustrating thing to communicate what was necessary to build this city and to build this tower. And the Bible says they began to scatter off into the world. And I believe what the Bible is saying here, they began to scatter in groups according to their languages. So language groups, understanding each other, we understand each other, we speak the same language, therefore we will go, and some went to Egypt, others went to Spain, others went to, all over the world. And they went off according to languages. Now there's some key points that I think we ought to pull out of Genesis chapter 11. Number one, they were all unified, one language and a common speech. Not only the same language, but they were speaking the same thing. They were all embracing the same vision, and that was the building a city and a tower to heaven. Thirdly, they all had one focus, and the focus was, that is where the one voice comes in, let's get the job done. And because of their unity and their focus, they could accomplish anything, the Bible says, that they put their minds to do. And when their language then was confused, their united focus was broken, and the task became impossible. A few years ago, I was ministering with our GO team, medical GO team, in the Ukraine. And what a delightful time it was. We just fell absolutely in love with the Ukrainian people. And I was given the responsibility, because I am not medical, they gave me the responsibility of setting up the counseling and the prayer tents, and be responsible for the ministry side of this medical outreach. And so I was given there 3 6-inch PVC tubes, and these tubes were filled with what seemed to be a gazillion metal poles to form a structure to which the 3 nylon tent coverings would be placed. And there was no instructions on the inside of these tubes. And being a man, I guess I probably would not have read them anyway. However, when all else fails, try reading the instructions. All right, so there are no instructions. And then to help me accomplish the task, they paired me with a local pastor, a young local pastor, who knew no English at all or very little. And of course, I knew no Ukrainian. I knew absolutely no Russian. Adding to that, this young pastor had never set up one of these confusing tents before either. And so the two of us looked like an episode from Laurel and Hardy, ducking as the poles would fly over our heads and holding pieces. We didn't know where these pieces, how they were to fit together. But ultimately, because it was God's task, God helped us, and we finished doing what needed to be done. Now, because of that experience and experiences that I've had in building with teams around the world, where everyone on the team of, from America spoke, of course, English, and ending up in places of the world where they would speak a different language, various languages, and to try to work together as a team. Because of those experiences, I have a great appreciation for this biblical account of the Tower of Babel. Now, I believe that out of the entire narrative, this entire story that is recorded in Genesis chapter 11 about the building of this tower and God stopping it, I believe the entire key to it all is found in verse 6. Look, God is saying this. God is speaking. Look, he said, the people are what? Come on, say it louder than that. They are united. You know, whatever we do, let's do it all for the glory of God. Amen? Let's put everything we've got into it. If we're going to sing, let's blow our lungs out doing it. All right? And if we're going to say amen, let's say amen. Amen? All right. Okay. Oh, now you just want to make me happy. That's all. But whatever we do, we want to do it for the glory of God. Amen? And so the Bible says here, look, he said, that is God speaking. The people are united. And they all speak the same language. Not only the same language linguistically, but they're speaking the same thing. There is a task before them, and they're going to put their heart, their mind, their back, their soul, their finance, they're going to put everything into it. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Another translation reads this way. The people are all together on this, and their voice is the same. You see, when God confused their language, their focus became broken, and their project from that moment on was done for. Fast forward with me now to the book of Acts. Most Bible scholars believe that what happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost was a spiritual reversal of the Tower of Babel. The 120 in the upper room, they were welded together by the Spirit of God into one body, into one unifying language of the Spirit with one focus, and that focus to be a witness for Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In Acts chapter 4, it gives us a picture of the early church's focus and their singular focus. And we find that in Acts chapter 4, starting with verse 31. Listen to what it says. After they prayed, nothing's going to happen, friends, until after you pray. If you're confused, nothing's going to straighten out until after you pray. If you're broke and you need finances, nothing's going to happen until you pray. If your family's all messed up, nothing's going to happen until you pray. So, make your choice. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The presence of God came down. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers, I want you to notice the all here. We find this, and they all were filled, and all the believers were of one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they all shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus, and much grace was upon them. How many? Upon them? All. You know, this church that we just read about here, they turned Jerusalem upside down. They took the gospel with them to the far known places of the earth, and they evangelized the entire then known world of its time. Even in the midst of hatred, in the midst of persecution, this young church that we read about in the book of Acts, they kept their focus. They would not allow anything to break their focus. You see, I believe ringing in their hearts was the promise. And it was the promise of Jesus Christ himself when he said, and I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the body of believers focuses on the same vision, friends, I declare to you this morning, nothing is impossible. There is nothing that cannot happen when we put our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our shoulders into it. In John chapter 9, Jesus spoke of the importance of working while it was day. He said, you must work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And friends, knowing that time is short and that eternity is long, we as a local church, we are going to double our efforts. Beginning on March the 7th, we're adding a third morning worship service. That third morning worship service, and you've seen the schedules, 8 o'clock and again at 9:30 and again at 11. What it allows us to do is to add an additional 2,500 seats for hungry hearts. And friends, let me tell you, there's a lot of talk about revival. And I'm telling you this morning with every bit of the Spirit of God that I can muster within me to tell you, the revival is not down the road. The revival has begun. There is a tug. There is a calling of the Spirit. And men and women are ready to leave whatever has been holding them back. They are like a snowplow saying, I'm going for Jesus, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that they know that Jesus Christ is the way when they're confused. He is the truth to those that are messed up, and He is the life they've been longing for. The revival has begun. It's on the way. And God is looking for a team that will work together, labor together, and to do whatever needs to be done to make sure this message gets out while it is yet day. Jesus said, you need to work while it's day. And we know that daytime, the hours physically right now, we're moving in towards spring and summer, and the days are getting longer. But spiritually, the days are getting shorter. And the Lord wants us to give everything we've got for this moment. And so we're adding another service in the morning, which allows, once again, by only adding 15 minutes more to the entire morning, we're allowing for 2,500 more individuals with a thirst and hunger for God to be able to come and hear God's word, to be ingrained together, and to study God's word in wonderful ways like we're making available as well. Our Sunday morning study groups will take place both at 9:30 and again at 11 a.m. That's doubling our many opportunities to study God's word. You know, the Bible gives us a command, and the command is to study, to show thyself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we have a job. We've got a responsibility as individual believers. You see, friends, we must see ourselves not as consumers, but as commissioned. It's a difference. It's a big difference between being a consumer and being someone that understands we're commissioned. Friend, you need to understand that the same commissioning that God sent His Son into this world is the same commissioning that He gives to you. Jesus said this, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when He said that, He is saying, I have been sent by God, commissioned by God. Now, anytime you talk about commission, it's always a commission. Matter of fact, I'm speaking next month for our missionary commissioning service that's taking place for our Wisconsin, Northern Michigan district. And in that service, they're going to commission them. It's what's called a commissioning service. It's made up of co, which always means two working together, laboring together, and then it's mission. Have you ever thought of that? We are commissioned. We are not doing our own thing. We're not building a tower. We're not building our city. We're not trying to build a name for ourselves. We are about the work of the kingdom of God. Our Sunday night schedule is going to be tweaked a little bit as well. The new schedule beginning in March will include Sunday evening services on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. Sunday night services will continue to present the Word of God, and we'll have wonderful times, and we'll mention some of what's going to take place. All of this starting at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. It's going to be times where we're going to have worship nights, where we're going to do nothing but worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Other nights is going to be intercession and prayer. Other nights yet, it's going to be gathering around the table of the Lord. We're going to have communion as we celebrate the Lord's table together. We're going to have missions guests and healing services and Holy Spirit miracle rallies and illustrated sermons and baptism of the Holy Spirit nights. And there's going to be times of lingering in His presence and much, much, much more. All of this taking place on Sunday night. We need to get into the presence of God. And the reason why we are changing our schedule a bit for Sunday night, because number one, we have three morning worship services now, but adding to the dimension on Sunday night, these will have a brand new feel to them. They're meant to do what we cannot have time in the morning worship services to accomplish, and that is we need to get alone with God. And when you're alone with God, He gives you a new vision. Some of you walked in here today, and the vision has been ho-hum, you know, we have this going on politically, and we've got this thing going on, and we've got problems here, and COVID's over here, and it's mutating over this direction, and all of that. I'm here to tell you today, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. And some of you have come, and it's much closer to home, what you have seen. It's not been the political, it's not been the COVID thing or anything of the sort. You're saying, I've got a son or daughter that's far from God. My hell is home. It's supposed to be a little heaven, I've been told, but it's really far from heaven. It's more like hell. All that happens there is fighting and frustration. And I know that even when I get home today, it's going to start all over again. I want you to know, friends, God has an answer for you. And when you get close to Him, He begins to sow into your heart a promise. And friends, let me tell you, when God gives you a promise, don't let hell steal it. Don't let anyone steal it. Don't let the naysayers steal it away. Hold on. Hold on. Book of Revelation has a phrase in there that I find a challenge and also one that I find very interesting. And that is, the Bible says, let no man steal your crown. Don't let anyone rob you. And so when you get into the presence of God, it gives you brand new fire and brand new vision. It gives you brand new strength. You might have come in and you're weak today, meaning that emotionally you're just saying, I don't know if I can do this thing called life anymore. I'm frustrated, broken, and I know that I've got to face it again. You know, when you wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the song says, teach us, Lord, to wait upon You. And so we're sowing those moments into our schedule. We sang the song just before we transitioned. And that song was, we're making room for You. I'm excited about making room for 2,500 more people. But I'm more excited about making room for Him. We're making room for You, Lord. I was whispering to the Lord here, sitting on the front row during that song, Lord, if there's something that You want to say, this is Your day, it's Your house, it's Your people, it's Your platform, it's You we're making room for. And we want to make room for Him, because You'll forget my words. You might remember at most that He had a hard time putting together a simple tent. But what the Spirit of God puts in your heart, you will never forget. It has the way to shake away all the stuff that sticks to us and to change us from the inside out. We're making plans for the summer to be able to have more outdoor services on Sunday night, just times. It was so fun to watch neighbors and people come in that they just heard the singing. They drove by on the freeway and they thought it was a party, so they came to the party. And it was a party, a Holy Spirit party, amen. We want more of them. Oh, there's so much more we could talk about. We're going to be doing so tonight at our annual business meeting as we look back onto what God has allowed us to accomplish together And so let me just say once again, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness this past year. There's not been one missionary that has not received their monthly support all year long. In addition to that, you've built a church in Alexandria, Egypt. Think about that. You have planted a work in Panama City, Panama, that's a training center. You've invested in the refuge. The refuge is a place, and I was privileged to be in the high rise looking down as school was getting out and just kids leaving this huge high school, going every direction. And the directors there, the Kenyans, said, just watch now. And I watched as the kids came down the street, entered into the building, went up to the refuge. And in the refuge, they found a refuge from, you know, the world. And these kids coming home from school and for weekends, they've got outreaches, some of which have as many as, help me, 3,500 kids show up for them. And you're a part of it. And we've just made a major investment so that the refuge, that all happened because during the year when everybody was saying nothing's happening, you were listening to God and God was up to something. And together we saw some marvelous things take place. And we'll share just like I go on and on and on. But you know what, friends? COVID did not stop the devil. I think he got an early vaccination. That's not a political statement. Nor, oh, hold on now. If I could roll that back in, I probably would. Nor is it a medical statement. Okay? But COVID didn't stop the devil. Nor better stop the work of God. Amen? We cannot allow it to stop the work of the kingdom. Together, 2021. This is the time, boom. We're going to do it together. I'm so glad you're part of the team. And if you're new this morning and you've just come through the doors, you're watching online, we're doing all of this so that we can be a team together. And we're not out to build a name for ourselves. We're not out to build a kingdom on this earth. We're out to build the kingdom of God. Because everything else is hay, wood, and stubble. And when fire is put to it, it'll be consumed, the Bible says. Together. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for these moments that we've been able to be together this morning in the Word. I pray, Lord, for those that are saying that they want a fresh touch of God in their life. For those, Lord, that are saying, I need a word from heaven. I cannot face the same old stuff that I've been facing all week without help, without encouragement. And I ask, oh God, that you'd give to them, Lord, divine insights. Give them a promise. Lord, I pray for every problem in the house, they would find two promises from God. Lord, I pray for those that are saying in this moment, you know, I'm not where I should be. I'm not serving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength the way I ought to be. And I want to give my life fully to Christ this morning before communion. Just say from your heart, Lord Jesus, come into my life in your fullness. I surrender to you. I do not have all the answers. I've turned to men and they have no answers. I turn alone to you. You are the sovereign God. Show me the way. Live in my heart. I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world on a mission to seek and to save the lost. I need a Savior. Be my Savior. And I will place all my trust in you and in you alone. In Jesus' name.